to be here. Good to see all of you in the house of the Lord tonight. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see. Everybody said, I turned to see. I turned to see. We're going to have to turn if we're going to see. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. I hope you're getting the picture here tonight. As if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Praise God. We don't really have anything to fear tonight, for there is one that is in the midst of the candlesticks. And I just want to talk a little bit to us tonight. If you want to put a title on this, we can just call it Seeing the One. He turned and he saw one. Everybody said one. He saw one, and what we need to see is the one who is in the church. The one who is in the church. Now, y'all are going to have to help me here tonight. Been a while since I've been in the pulpit to preach. I'm not sure I know how to do it anymore. And maybe we'll just start out with teaching tonight, and we'll get after it Sunday. But whatever happens, we're going to get the Word of God here tonight. Let's pray. Somebody pray with me, and let's ask God to speak to us and anoint His Word. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for truth. Anoint your word to each and every heart, every ear. Let us have ears to hear the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for his word tonight. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. When we talk about perception, perception is something that can be a reality or not a reality. And I believe tonight that it is based upon the knowledge of the individual. How many have ever been swindled? Amen. Anybody been told a story and then when it was all over with, it wasn't quite what they said? But we perceived that it was reality. We thought that it was real, but it wasn't. It has been said that when someone is crossing the desert, he or she must have enough water and knowledge to make it to the other side. You've got to have water, but you've also got to have knowledge. And the reason is that there are illusions in the desert. Illusions, amen, that come up before you as the heat waves cover the surface, and they give the impression that there is water just ahead. In extreme cases, I've read where dehydration begins to take over a person in the desert, and they actually can see what is called a mirage. It could be buildings, it could be a city, it could be an individual standing out there waiting for them to come, and they could follow the mirage until they perished in the desert. It's a false view. A mirage is a false view. It's like looking at something and we think that it is real when it is not real. Amen. And you and I tonight, we are walking through the desert of this world on our way to the promised land. Amen. Praise God. And we've got to be careful tonight to lean on our knowledge, not upon our perceptions. Praise God. Israel missed it. If we use an example tonight, we could use Israel, and Israel missed it big time. And praise God. We're walking through this wilderness, and it's just like Israel when they missed it. They never really turned themselves to see who was in the midst of them. I want to focus on that just a little bit here tonight, because every day there was food for the picking. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. They had plenty of water that followed them in the rock, but somehow or another they had a perception that was skewed. Amen. They had a way of looking at things that was not exactly right. And instead of seeing the one that was in the midst of them, they only saw the desert. They only saw the mirage. They only saw the shimmering waves of the heat as they passed through the desert on their way to the promised land. And in fact, the Bible does tell us, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll wait for you to get there. I want you to have this word in your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 gives us that parallel here tonight. And it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Amen. What a heritage. What a story they could tell from generation to generation of how they came through the sea and they came through the cloud, and how God delivered them and how God fed them, and how God gave them drink in the middle of the desert. But then the next sentence or the next verse says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And there was no reason for them to be overthrown in the wilderness because they had everything that they needed. Can you say amen? They really did. Very much like us. We have everything we need to make it to heaven. Praise God. We really do. And it says this, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters." Now what did they lust after? Well, in one place they lusted after meat. They were tired of God's food and they wanted something else. Don't ever get tired of God's food. I thank God for the preaching I've heard in the last couple of weeks. Amen. Your pastor needs preaching as well. Amen. And they were preaching to me just as much as to you. And we've got everything we need tonight to make it to heaven. We've got everything tonight to be overcomers and victors. And you can make it through the desert. You can make it through the difficult time. Amen. And in fact, it was the will of God that they came through the desert. But many of them were overthrown, and they are our examples. "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now all these things happened unto them for examples or in samples, as they are written for our admonition, upon whom the world, the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Praise God. There is something about passing through the wilderness. There is something about passing through a desert place. I've never done it. I don't ever want to do it. There's a lot of things that take place, but it has been said that if you're going to go through the desert, you can't fight against the desert. You have to move with it. Amen. You can't change the temperature. You can't change the hot sun. You can't change the hot sand upon your feet. It's there. It's going to be there. And there's no way to change it. There's no way to alter it at all. But what we have to do is we have to keep our head. We have to keep our knowledge. Amen. We have to understand these basic principles. And in the very same way that they failed, you and I can fail if we go after illusions and not after reality. What we have tonight in the Word of God is reality. Praise the Lord. It's reality. It is not what we see necessarily. If we look out across the desert, we may see a city out there, but that city may not exist. When we look out over that desert, we may see a giant lake of water, but that water may not exist. And so what we have to do is modify our perception. Amen. In other words, we've got to be careful where we look. Amen. I can't look out across the hot sand because it is not giving me a true perspective on what reality is. There's only one place where we can have reality, and that is in the Word of God. Thank God for His Word today. Oh, praise God. It'll change you. Anybody feel a little closer to the Word of God this week? A few of you? I do, and I've been listening to the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, I've been listening to the book of Revelation, and I've listened to it a couple of times, and I'll tell you what, I don't want to get involved in some of the things that are coming upon this world. Amen. So I've got to keep my perception right. And here John the Revelator was in the Spirit, and he heard a voice behind him, and the Bible says that when he was turned, he saw the menorah, or he saw the golden candlestick that was there in the holy place, and it was seven golden candlesticks. Now, I'm not going to go into all the scripture here tonight, but this golden candlestick was made of pure beaten gold. It represents Jesus as the light of the world, but it represents more than that. It represents the church. The seven churches, amen. And he turned and he saw the golden candlesticks that represent the churches made of gold. They're not made of silver, they're not made of brass, but they're made of gold. Gold being very soft and precious, gold being very rare and costly, amen. And when John turned to see, he saw all of this gold. He saw the churches. He saw the one that was there in the midst of those candlesticks. And John was getting an idea or a picture, if you please, of reality. Amen. It was a picture of reality. It was not a mirage. It was not a shimmering heat somewhere off in the distance. And he thought, well, maybe it's real and maybe it's not real. But John was in the Spirit, and when he turned, he got a picture of reality. And I believe tonight that when we turn our eyes to the Lord and we give our attention to Him, we're going to see this world in a different light than we've ever seen it before. Because the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Praise God. And so what we have to do is practice seeing things that are not there. Amen. That may sound a little bit goofy, but it's really not when you put it in the perspective of reality. Amen. And that's what he saw. This church in the wilderness that we made reference to here, and the children of Israel passing through the wilderness, they had desert all around them, but in the midst of them, there was gold everywhere. There was gold, there was silver, and to top it off, there was the presence of the Lord. But in this wilderness experience, their perception was all outward. They didn't really focus their attention inward to what was inside of them, basically, or in the center of them. That's where the tabernacle was in the center. And yet they didn't focus on that. They focused on the outward. They focused on not having water, and so they murmured. And they focused on not having food, and so they murmured. And then they got tired of the way, and so they murmured again. And the Bible says that God was not well pleased with them, and many of them fell in the wilderness. The perception that they had when they looked at the church, and the Bible does call it the church in the wilderness, when they looked at that tabernacle, all they could see was a black outward exterior. All they could do was smell the smell of burning flesh as the animals were sacrificed every day. Amen. All they could hear was the cry of the ox and the bulls as their throats were slit. And in their last dying breaths, they cried out in pain as they died and then were thrown upon the altar as a sacrifice to God. Amen. If you were not a person that knew what was going on, you would say, this is crazy. This is not reality. Reality is out here. Reality is what we've got to go through. It's not here where we are playing church, as it were. And we're going through the same motions over and over again. Surely God can't be in this and reality can't be here. But reality is out here. The reality is there's a sun shining down on us. And it's causing us to sweat. And it's a struggle. The reality is that we're treading through hot sand every time we have to move. And they got discouraged because of that. And their discouragement was because of their lack of knowledge. And that knowledge was the knowledge of Him who was in the midst of them. Praise God. I want you to know tonight there's somebody in the midst of every church, every apostolic church. Yes, He's here tonight, and the Bible tells us that He is. And when they got past all of the noise and all of the sounds and all of the smells, and they drew close to that tabernacle and they pulled back the curtain and they went into that holy place, all of a sudden, the noise was gone. All of a sudden, the labor had stopped. All of a sudden, the struggle was not there anymore. Praise God. Praise God. Wasn't there anymore, but it was peaceful, and it was serene, and it was beautiful, for there were colors of blue and red and purple. And then when they walked in, they saw the gold everywhere. The gold on the pillars on the inside, sitting in sockets of silver, and a golden candlestick, and an offering or an altar of incense, and a table of shewbread, all covered with gold, very beautiful, very costly, and it was what was on the inside. Amen. The people probably fell away because they were never able to go into that place. They were never able to see all of the beauty and the splendor. They were never able to really feel the presence of God that the high priest felt when he went into the uttermost place. Praise God. And I've got a feeling that the priest, you know, some things are hard to describe. Praise God. They're hard to describe. Experiences are hard to describe sometimes. And somebody would say, well, what happened to you? And if there's an accident or an event that takes place, you can get four or five people together and ask them what happened, and you'll probably get four or five different stories because everybody approaches it with a different experience. For some in the camp of Israel, they were just one of the tribes that was following after the priesthood. All they could do was stand at the door and wait for the priest to come out once every year. Praise God. And when he came out, he would tell them what God said. And when he came out, he could probably tell them what it felt like and what it looked like and what he said and all of that, but they could not go into that presence of God. I thank God that when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Praise God. I don't have to have somebody to tell me that it's real. I know that it's real. Praise God. Don't have to have somebody to explain the experience to me. Amen. I've experienced it for myself, and I'm so thankful tonight for the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Anybody else feel the same way tonight? Thankful for the Holy Ghost that he's poured out in my life. Amen. And no doubt the priest did not want to exit this place, this holy place. No doubt. And in fact, they would tie a rope around the ankle of the high priest. And some would say because if the Lord killed him dead, they could pull him out of that holiest of holies. My pastor said they tied a rope around his ankle so they would pull him out or he would never come out. Amen. He would just stay there. Praise God. And there are times when we when we get into the presence of the Lord, we just don't want to go. Now, maybe you can't relate to that tonight, but you can if you get into the presence of God. Amen. There's something about the presence of the Lord. And if the people could only have been where the priest was in that place and to meet reality face to face. I want to say it that way tonight. They met reality face to face of the one that was behind the veil. If they could have done that, oh, they would have come out and they would have seen the desert in a different light. If they could have done that, they would have seen all the struggle of loading everything up and moving again in a different light. Amen. If they could have been in the presence of God, they would have seen the hot sun and felt the hot sand on their feet. And it would have changed, amen. And they would have said, this is just for a season of time. This is not my reality. Praise God. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. This is not reality, amen. But this is a temporary situation. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Praise God. I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger in this world. Amen. I'm going to a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Not built by human hands, but built by God Almighty. Praise God. We've got a beautiful hope tonight. But if we hope to make it to that celestial city and to hear him say, well done, we have to focus our attention upon reality. Praise God. Praise God. The present things of this world are not reality, not in light of eternity. Praise God. And John had this great experience of seeing him. And in my notes, I have the word him in capital letters. Seeing him. Amen. There's not much that I want to see but him. Praise God. The struggles are temporary. The setbacks are temporary. The shortages are temporary. Amen. The things that we wrestle and we fight with are temporary. Did you know that the devil is temporary? We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Yes, we're fighting the good fight of faith, but I'm telling you what, there's going to be a day when he is bound in that bottomless pit forever and ever and ever. Can you imagine what it's going to be like without his influence? I can't. Amen. I can only imagine. But when I look at the Word of God, I don't see something that is a wish so, hope so, maybe so belief. But what I see is reality. Somebody said reality. And so he saw him in a way that he probably had never seen him before. Never seen him that way before. He saw him more intimately than the years that he walked with him. He saw him more intimately than even as they went to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. And he was transfigured before their very eyes. But here he was in the Spirit, and he began to see things that he had never seen before. Amen. We've got to see some things we've never seen before. And the things that we need to see is him. Amen. Praise God. Him. I want to see him. And so he saw him. But he didn't see him as a man walking the shores of Galilee. No, he saw him in reality. Praise God. He didn't see him in that total reality before, but now he sees him in this reality. And not only does he see him in reality, he got to see him in location. Praise God. He got to see him in the reality of who he is, who he was, and who he is. But he got to see him in the reality of his location. Have you ever thought that God is a million miles away from you? I have. Amen. And if you haven't, just hold on and you'll find yourself there someday. Amen. But he got to see him in location, and I think this is what ought to excite us more than anything in our walk with God, is who he is and where he is. Praise God. All right. This vision was necessary for John. But it was not just necessary for him, it was necessary for you and I. And he described him, he saw him, and he wrote down and he described in detail what he saw. And the Lord gave John and gave us a picture of reality. Amen. The reality so that we can be victorious in our walk with the Lord. Anybody want to be victorious tonight? Praise God. I want to be victorious in God. And when you dissect this and cut it all apart, When he began to describe him, he described his chest and his waist. He described his head and the hair that was on his head. He described his eyes. He described his feet. He described his voice and his hand and his mouth and his countenance. Oh, praise God. There's an awful lot right there. And we could be here a long time, but don't worry, we're not going to be here a long time. But let me get the scripture here again, And let's look at it one more time, Revelation chapter 1. And it says that he was clothed with a garment down to the foot. He didn't have a miniskirt on, praise God. Well, somebody smiled just a little bit. He was girded all the way, clothed modestly. And then it says, and he was girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and that is the chest area. And the girdle is a belt, amen. It was a shield over his heart, and it was a belt around his waist, and it was made out of pure gold, amen. I'll tell you what it represents tonight is that his heart is covered with gold, amen. Gold is a very precious thing, and the heart of God is in his church, amen. There's nothing that's going to change the heart of God about how he feels about you and I. Well, praise the Lord. Nothing's going to change that. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, the Bible says. What does that say? Well, usually people that are of white hair are aged, amen, or getting there, praise God. No. His hair and his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. What that tells me is that he is the Ancient of Days. He's been around a long, long time. He always was and he always will be, praise God. He will always be there for his people. And sometimes in the desert there's going to be a mirage of false perception that will tell you otherwise. You know, as the Ancient of Days, and in fact the Lord made this a commandment in the Old Testament, that when the hoary head would walk into the room, the hoary head was the old man that had white hair. When the hoary head would walk into the room, it was in the law that everybody in the room would stand in honor of the old man. Amen. That's the way it was. Because the white hair represented wisdom and understanding. It represented experience. It represented the one that we would go to for counsel. Amen. The one that we would go to for instruction. And if there's ever anybody that we need instruction from, it's from him and his word. Praise the Lord. White as snow, he is the Ancient of Days. Praise God. But there will be a mirage that will tell you otherwise. It will say, God is not leading me in a good way, but I'm telling you, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. His word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our pathway. We'll talk about the word here in just a minute. But it gives us the perception of reality. Then he goes on and he says his eyes were as a flame of fire. Praise God. I can just imagine what John saw. He didn't see a pupil. He didn't see the color of the eye. He saw eyes that were like a flame of fire, almost like if you turned on a hot torch and the blue flame, or this would be a white flame, coming out of his eyes. And don't ever... look out at the mirage of the desert of this world and believe that God does not see, because God sees everything. Amen. He sees everything. Amen. He looks upon his people, and not does he just look upon his people, he looks into his people. Amen. Praise God. He looks down in the depths of our heart. He looks down into the depth of our spirit. He tries the reins of our heart. Amen. He gets down into the joints and the marrow. He gets down into the the motives and the reasons behind what we do. I thank God that I have a God today that sees everything. I don't have to really worry too much about the injustices of our world because I'm not qualified to see all of these things. But there is one who sees everything. Amen. He lightens the world with his eyes. His eyes are upon the world. Amen. He goes to and fro upon the earth, as it were, and he sees everything. He sees everything that is of him. He sees everything that is not of him. He sees all of the justice and the injustice of our world. Amen. I don't have to sit up at night and worry about the condition of our world because God sees everything. And guess what? The one that sees everything is in the midst of the church. It's not just who he is, it's where he's located. Praise God. He talks about his feet here. And his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. I can only imagine what Joshua and Caleb felt as they went through the wilderness. Amen. For 40 years. They could look out around them and say, you guys are the ones that caused all the trouble for me and Caleb. We were ready to go into the promised land, and you guys dropped the ball, and here we are. But I'm telling you tonight, doesn't matter where we are or what anybody is doing, my God is a God of judgment. Amen. Brass represents judgment. It typifies judgment in the Scriptures. And don't be afraid and don't worry when you look out at the mirage of this world and you say the wicked are prospering and the world is prospering and here I am trying to serve God and it's just not working out for me. I'm telling you tonight, you got to get a vision of Him, and when you get a vision of Him, you will get a vision of reality. And when you get a vision of Him, then you will also get a vision of His location. He is in the church. Praise God. And His feet are like unto fine brass. Amen. Nobody's going to slip by the judgments of God. And hear this tonight. The judgments of God are righteous. They are righteous. Amen. Sometimes we think that the judgment is lingering, but it isn't. Amen. God reigns upon the just and the unjust. The sinner brings in his crops. Amen. The ungodly, the liars, the wicked of our world prosper every day. I heard just a while back, I think it was last week sometime, Mr. Warren Buffett, multi-billionaire, hundreds of billions of dollars. And he made the comment, he said, our company, Berkshire Hathaway, brings in approximately $110 million a week. Amen. You can't mow enough grass for that, Hunter. $110 million every week. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, that's not going to buy his way into heaven. Amen. Well, praise God. The judgment of God and the blessings of God are upon those that don't even serve God. And in fact, the Scripture tells us that the goodness of God is to lead us to repentance. And so there are times that God puts good things upon bad people. Amen. Because He wants them to know how good He is and how much He really loves them. Praise God. So don't look out at the mirage of our world, the hot desert sand that we have to go through on our way to the promised land. Amen. Just remember There's one who's in the midst of us, and his feet are as fine brass. Well, praise God. Then it talks about his voice. The voice is a sound of many waters. Amen. Thank God he still speaks to his people. You say, well, he hasn't spoken to me lately. Well, have you prayed lately? Amen. And if you have prayed lately, then just hang on. He's going to talk to you before long. Amen. Because he has a voice. Thank God in the wilderness, there's a voice. Praise God. Thank God in the wilderness, there was a Moses. Thank God in the wilderness, there was the priesthood. Thank God in the wilderness, there were prophets that prophesied. And he spoke to them through the prophets. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so he spoke through the prophets. He spoke through the fathers. He spoke through the priesthood. Amen. They had a voice. There was a voice that they could lean on. But when they looked out over the desert sand, maybe they got into a hallucination and they thought they heard something. Maybe they heard a voice. You know, there's a lot of people that hear voices today. But I'm telling you what, all voices are not of God. Scripture says that there are many voices in the world, and none of them are without signification. Every voice has some significance to it. Amen. Whether good or bad, there is some significance to every voice. And what we have to be encouraged by tonight is that there is a voice that comes out of the one who is in the midst of his people tonight. Well, praise God. Then he talks about his hand, and he said he had in his right hand, the right hand represents authority, seven stars. And we know, and I don't have time to go into all the scriptures tonight, but we know that this is the ministry. I thank God for a pastor in my life. Amen. That's how I feel about it. And whatever he would ask me to do, I would do with joy and gladness. Amen. And I trusted his counsel, and I'm thankful for the ministry in my life. There have been so many, many times that I had tremendous needs in my life. And somebody could say amen with me here tonight. And I prayed and said, God, I've got to have an answer. And all of a sudden, a message came over the pulpit that was exactly what I needed. Anybody else have that experience tonight? Amen. Somebody told me just the other day, yesterday, in fact, someone who attends here, they said, every time I come to church, God speaks to me, and I leave excited. Praise God. You know what that tells me? That tells me that there's somebody here in the church that has a voice. And he's speaking. Amen. We just have to listen to what he's saying and not be listening to the mirage of our world. I'm really enjoying not getting on social media and all that for a week. Anybody else with me here tonight? Not everybody's with me here tonight. I know, but I'm telling you what, it opens up my mind. I find myself singing the songs of Zion. Amen. I find myself coming up with some of the old songs I haven't heard in a long, long time, singing and making melody in my heart unto the Lord. Amen. You know why? Because there's a lot of stuff that hasn't gotten into my mind this week. Amen. A lot of things that are out there in the desert, the voices and the sights and the sounds and all of that. Praise God. I'm just going to do this every now and then, just take a week off. Praise God. Not from serving God, but from all of the stuff that's in this world. Amen. Just get a fresh, clean mind one more time and then dive back out into the sand one more time. Praise God. Well, praise God. He had in his right hand seven stars. Amen. Did you know that he has you in his hand as well? Well, I don't feel like it. Don't worry about how you feel. Go to the place of reality and see what John saw. Amen. See what reality really is. Reality is right there in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. And then it talks about his mouth. Amen. And, of course, we know that the two-edged sword is, Hebrews chapter 4. Turn with me tonight to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick. Everybody said quick. Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. That's pretty sharp. Amen. You could give yourself a shave with it. Pretty sharp. And if you're not careful, you're going to cut yourself. Amen. I don't know how sharp a surgeon's knife is, but I've been cut on a few times. And a couple of times that I was cut on, well, maybe I ought not to get into the details tonight. But they pulled a machine up, and it was a laser scalpel, which is a sharp knife, and it burns the cut so that there's not any bleeding, and you can just literally cut you open. Amen. Thank God they put me to sleep when they did that. Amen. But when it was all over with, there was a wound there, a bandage, and if anybody wants to see it after church, I'm not going to show you. Praise the Lord. God gets the knife out and he cuts on us. How many wants to be cut on? Roxanne wants to be cut on? All right. Praise the Lord. He'll do that. And he'll do it with the word of God. We can't say, no, 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 and we back up. You're not cutting me with that thing. You're not going to get close to me with that thing. Well, then let's look at it. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Soul and spirit, amen. There's a difference there between the soul and the spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. Scripture says no man knows his heart. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Amen. But there is one that knows the heart, and that is the word of God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto him, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so there is no creature that is not manifest in his sight. He knows everything that he created. He sees the sparrow when it falls. He can take a dumb donkey and make him talk. Amen. He can order the ravens to get food and bring it to the prophet. Amen. There is nothing that is hidden from the word of God. Well, praise the Lord. I thank God for his word tonight. And I'm glad that it's not just a basket of blessings, but it also incorporates a knife. And there's not a one of us here tonight that are exempt from this. Amen. And some of us, myself included, we need a lot more word than others. Praise God. We need more surgeries to fix situations. Amen. You say, well, I don't believe in doctors. Well, God is a doctor. He cuts on us spiritually. Praise the Lord. I thank God for good surgeons. I had to have heart surgery many years ago, and I was thankful that I got the doctor that I got, and I actually went online and looked at a heart surgery online, and it's quite interesting. Amen. And he better know what he's doing, because that's a very intimate situation. Amen. Where he opens you up and he looks at it, he handles it, and he says, this is where the problem is right here. And he gets his knife out and he cuts it and he replaces it or fixes it or does whatever. Some of you here tonight have had hip replaced, knees replaced. Dear Lord, help us. We're getting so many things replaced. Amen. There's some surgeons in Europe, and I could see why they talk about Europe like they do, that they are planning to do a head transplant. And I thought, dear God, I don't think the Lord is happy with that whatsoever. Moving on. And then it says, his countenance. Amen. Your countenance. The Bible says that Cain and Abel, Cain's countenance fell. He went from to. There's something about countenance. You can tell an awful lot about a person's countenance. You can look at their face and you can see an awful lot of things. Well, John got to see his face. Praise God. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Praise God. That very thing that gives us life here in this world, the countenance of the sun was what he said his face looked like. And I begin to look at this. Psalm chapter 31 and verse 16. I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes. Psalm chapter 31 and verse 16. And I'm going to read from Psalm, so you can go there with me here tonight. I won't be jumping all around. Psalm chapter 31 and verse 16. He says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Praise God. So when God shines his countenance upon us, it's mercy. Praise God. I want him to look at me with a face of mercy. You know why? I need mercy. And when his countenance shines upon us, it is for mercy. Psalm chapter 67 and verse 1. I'll let you turn there tonight. It says here, a psalm or a song. God be merciful unto us and bless us. Everybody said bless. Bless. And cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. And so when God's countenance shines upon his people, I want him to look to me. I don't want, the Bible says that he turns his face away from the proud. I want him to turn his face toward me and consider me. Amen. And when his face shines upon you, it is for blessing. Praise God. God wants to bless his people. I'm talking about the one that's here tonight. His countenance was as the sun that shines, and he is looking upon his people with that kind of a countenance, because he's the same God that David was talking about. Psalm chapter 80 and verse 3. Turn with me tonight. Psalm chapter 80 and verse 3. Turn us again. There's that turning. that John did. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Praise God. So when he turns his face toward his people, there's salvation. I'm not talking about looking out over the desert and looking at a mirage. I'm talking about reality here tonight. Did you know he looks upon you to save you? Praise God. He doesn't look upon us to destroy us. It doesn't say that he makes his face to shine upon us so that we will be destroyed, but that we will be saved. Praise God. Doesn't matter what you're going through, you can be saved from it. And that's the one that's in the midst of us. And we ought to shout hallelujah about that. Well, okay, if that was a Wednesday, that's a Wednesday night shout. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 135. Turn with me tonight. And I'll finish with this. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 135. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Praise God. Teach me thy statutes. So when God's face shines upon us, when his countenance looks upon us, it gives us revelation. Somebody said revelation. Teach me thy statutes. I don't want to just memorize them as a code book or a book of rules. No, I want to get a revelation from it. God, why do you want us to dress modestly? There's got to be a revelation behind that. It's not just a rule in the scriptures. It's not a dress code. Amen. But I'll tell you what it is. There's a revelation in his statutes. Praise God. Holiness is a revelation. It is a revelation that comes from a relationship and from his face shining upon us. Amen. There is a revelation of one God. Amen. I heard a preacher one time, and he was in his 30s or 40s, and was raised in the church, was involved in Bible quizzing, Bible memorization. They had contests of the Word of God, but he said it wasn't until, I believe, he was 14 years old that he got the revelation of the oneness of God. Just because we sit on the pew doesn't mean we have revelation. What we need is God to turn his face toward us and to give us revelation. There's only one God tonight. There's only one in the midst of the church. Amen. And what a description that he gives to us here. And then he says, and let's all stand together here tonight. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I fell at his feet. Do you know who's in the midst of us here tonight? Can we perceive that when we come to the house of God that he is here? His countenance is here. He speaks with a two-edged sword. We're in his right hand. Not his left hand, his right hand. Praise God. Can we perceive tonight? Can we understand? And when we perceive and we understand, it's very, very similar to Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah said, the year that King Uzziah died, Uzziah was a great king over Israel. There was prosperity in the days of Uzziah. And it wasn't until all the prosperity was gone. It wasn't until all of the wilderness was gone. The mirages of the wilderness were gone that Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. I saw him. There's another one in the scriptures, a great man of God, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. He said, everything that I've done is nothing. He said, that I may know him. That I may know him. I want to know him. It doesn't matter to me so much if a blessing comes, because, you know, you can be blessed. Somebody give you, Hunter gives me $500. He's looking at me real serious now. If you gave me $500, it probably wouldn't be long and $500 would be gone. The older you get, the more you realize money comes and money goes. Well, praise the Lord. It comes and it goes, especially when you got little kids. Amen. Amen. All it takes is one fall, and there goes the money. Praise the Lord. Amen. There goes the overtime. Well, I'm not gonna leave you depressed here tonight. Blessings come and blessings go. Good church services come and they go. People come and they go. People are born and people die. But this world is like a mirage. It's like a wilderness in the desert. And what we're looking at is not eternal. What we're looking at is temporary. What we're looking at tonight is what we want to look at here tonight is the one that is in the midst of us. But the only way that we can see him, we've got to turn. Turn your eyes away from the wilderness. Like the old song writer wrote, turn your eyes toward Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Anybody feel the Holy Ghost here tonight? Praise God. I feel his presence here tonight. Pastor's not jumping up and down and running around and screaming and hollering. We'll leave that to Brother Green. And maybe a few others. Praise God. But I just want to know him. Did you hear that tonight? I just want to know him. I want to know him more. I want to get more acquainted with him. I want to become more excited about my time with him in prayer. Well, praise God. I want to lay aside all of the things, the weights, the unimportant things. Doesn't matter what Iran's doing tonight. Doesn't matter what Donald Trump is doing tonight. I maybe made a mistake, and I signed up on his Twitter account as a follower. Anybody else is a follower of him? I don't know. And I'm getting ready to check off of that follower thing. That guy tweets more than anybody I know. I don't really know a whole lot of people that tweet, but every time I'm turning around, my phone's going bloop. And he's just checking in with me. He needs some advice from me. But, you know, I got important things to do during the course of the day. I don't need to be bothered all the time with him. And he'll tweet about this and that and the other and yada, 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 yada. When it all is said and done, I'm thankful for our president tonight. I really am. But I'm telling you tonight, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. If all of the oil fields in the world blew up today, it really doesn't matter. That's not reality. Oh, maybe it is for a short season of time, but it's not reality. You know what the reality is? There's one in the midst of us. I hope you receive it here tonight. Amen. And let it revolutionize how we come to the house of God. We need to know who he is, and we need to know where he is. Lord, we thank you tonight for the word of God.